Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. This is your host, Allison, and I gotta say, there's so many wonderful shows being broadcast weekly on BBS, so many interesting subjects, and I'm very happy that you decided to tune into my show this evening. And I'm very thankful for your love and your support of the show. So many things to be thankful for this week, the week before Thanksgiving, and really every day. I'm also just want to give a big shout out and a big thanks to Don Newsom, who's the heart behind BBS Radio, for giving me this opportunity each and every week. I also want to thank all the wonderful people working at BBS Radio that bring you this show. I'm also so fortunate to be able to spend the next hour with my special guest, Philip Smith, author of Walking Through Walls, a memoir. This has to be, and I got to tell you, honestly and truly, one of my most favorite books. It was a must-read for so many reasons. First and foremost, it's just completely entertaining, as Philip is just got a wonderful, humorous style of writing. And I got to tell you that I laughed more times than I can count while reading this book. And then if you're interested in spiritual philosophy or holistic healing, this book tells the journey of an incredibly gifted healer who happens to be Philip's father, Lou Smith. The book was mesmerizing. I had a hard time putting it down once I began to read it. So I got to tell you, people, I mean, I'm not a book critic, but I'm telling you, you've got to go get this book. It is just a wonderful read. And I encourage you also to visit the website. It's www.walkingthroughwallsthebook.com while listening to the show, because right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to welcome my guest, the author of Walking Through Walls, Philip Smith. Hi, Philip. Welcome to the show.
Allison, I'm delighted to be on your show.
Well, it's just a pleasure. I'm in awe of you because, you know, not many people deliver such a memorable book for me. And I got to tell you, I read a lot of books. And, you know, it's just my number one favorite book. And like I say, I have wholeheartedly recommended it to anyone that'll listen. So it was a wonderful book and always a pleasure to talk to you, Philip. So tell me, what's up with the book? What's new? How's it doing?
It's doing well. We basically pretty much sold out the first printing of hardback, and we just came out in paperback about 2 weeks ago.
Wonderful.
The important thing for me, though, is really my father had such a hard time when he was alive because he was practicing healing and diagnosis back in the late 60s, and it wasn't like today. And the authorities would come after him, and the FDA came after him. The police would arrest him for practicing medicine without a license.
Mm-hmm.
So the important thing for me is that people learn about my father's life and his work, and ideally it goes on to inspire, and I think it is doing that, go on to inspire people to discover their inner selves, their higher consciousness, and for many people, their true calling.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was doing some research prior to the show, you know, and I was looking up various different things, and, you know, even Arthur Ford, who was your father's friend,
mm-hmm.
And ultimately, he became your father's spirit guide, where your father channeled a lot of the writings and things. Arthur continued to speak to him even after death. And I was reading a lot of articles, and, you know, at the time when he was alive, it was literally considered to be witchcraft, to be a psychic or a medium, and people were persecuted. It wasn't the sort of thing that was, you know, like today, where you can turn on the TV and you've got psychics and mediums galore and paranormal investigators and all kinds of literature, all kinds of websites. There's just an amazing support for this now, but back then it was definitely something that set you apart from others and almost was very odd, very weird, and definitely not accepted.
Yeah, that's very true. And for me, growing up in the 60s, where I wanted to be a normal kid, to have a father that's basically curing people who are hemorrhaging or who have prostate cancer or, you know, whose babies can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a time where you went to high school and you were on the football team and your girlfriend was a cheerleader, to come home to a father who did this and then was talking to dead people. I led a very schizophrenic life. I could not go to school and tell kids, hey, this is what my father does. I learned to keep it quiet, and it took a lot of years for me to sort of get over that and decide to write the book, because I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to open Pandora's box here, and they'll come after me, and they'll try and confiscate my father's writings. But the culture has really changed, and I think that there is a change in consciousness now that people, even medical doctors, are reading the book and saying, you know, I normally wouldn't believe in this, but this has made me stop and think about, I don't know a lot about how I practice medicine. And this makes me realize that there are other dimensions to healing the body and the spirit.
Right, absolutely. Well, it's a testimony to your father, because it's, many of the listeners who haven't read the book, I mean, your father actually was quite a famous and renowned interior designer. He had a career that was already, you know, successful. He was respected. He did interior design for some very important people. And so to go from that lifestyle to that of a healer, and your father also taught people as well, that's a testimony to his belief in something and going with something because it felt right to him, regardless of what other people thought. And that in itself is just, you know, a testimony to his courage, I think. You know, to go against the norm, to do what he really felt was right for him. And, you know, that had to have been, even for you, such an incomplete and total change in lifestyle, going from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, we led a very fancy high society life. I mean, he worked, as you said, for, you know, Palm Beach Society, for the president of Cuba, the president of Haiti, for Dean Martin. And then all of a sudden he gets this calling, and he's not charging people. He felt it was a gift of God, and he should not charge for this wonderful thing that he could do. So he would sometimes see 20, 30 people in a day and could no longer go to the office and you know, make designs for rich people. And our lifestyle suddenly changed from you know, a new car every 2 years and custom-made suits to, you know, buying clothes at Kmart, because this is where his life took him, and he never looked back.
Right, right. And that's really, you know, when you step back and you put it into perspective, you know, it is where he placed his priorities. And it wasn't on the material things. It was, you know, definitely he placed his priorities on something bigger than himself. And also, you know, healing people and helping people and doing it selflessly, which is incredibly admirable trait. And it's amazing to me because, you know, I read the book and you did it with such incredible sense of humor. I mean, it's not just the story that was just amazing and what your father's life was and how you lived it with him. But, you know, it's the actual methods of healing. It was the spiritual philosophy that was present in what he was saying. I'd like to use an example from the website, if you don't mind. And I'm actually taking, I believe, it is notes that your father took from Arthur Ford.
Uh-huh.
And when he channeled. And one of the things that he said is, living to two worlds is similar to living in a house with a number of rooms. You can go from one to another when you desire it. It's an act of your will and the knowledge that you can do so. When the realization is accepted that you can do this, then the door will be opened. You are the creator of your reality, and you can also visit our reality if you so desire it. Now, to me, when we look at The Secret, or we look at all these books and all these programs and all these workshops and everything that's trying to teach manifestation, you know, and what the basic concept is you have to believe that it's possible in order to manifest it. And that's the basic concept of manifestation. And this is really what this these words are saying. If you believe, it's like if we believe that going from our living room takes us to our dining room, we do it every single day. We do not question that the dining room is there. We know as we make those steps, we'll enter the dining room. So therefore, it's a matter of acceptance that this is the this is the reality of it. So if we can change our thinking, that even to heal our own bodies, if we can change our thinking, we can change our reality, which is everything having to do with what they're studying with quantum physics, what they're studying with manifestation. And there it's set, you know, in words that were written, you know, in 1976, which to me, you know, that made me stop and it made me think and it made me realize, you know, how profound the notes that your father has, the notes that you are guardian of. And what his work was all about.
And how simple it is. It's, yeah. You know, my father felt that he was not a guru. He was not any different than anybody else. What he could do, you could do. And he was just he was a very talented interior decorator, but he was an ordinary guy who found these abilities. And he felt that it was a question of, I guess, not being handicapped or burdened by our own minds, and that we create our own prisons through our minds.
Sure.
And
sure.
For him, interesting is that when he would heal someone, you know, let's say they had a broken leg, he basically expected them to get up right away and walk, and they'd say it's a miracle. And my father said, no, it's not a miracle, because what I do exists outside of our time. And he said, you know, you take a course of antibiotics and you have to take it for 15 days. Healing, when healing happens, it happens in a space where there is no time and it's instantaneous.
Sure.
So it's what you're saying. And again, it's the same thing of going from one room to the other, is that we can change our reality and open ourselves up to other realities just by, you know, being aware of it and changing our thinking. He also felt that there was no difference between the living and the dead. And I know that, you know, we'd be at a restaurant having breakfast and the lights would blink, which was the signal that Arthur Ford wanted to talk to him. And he'd take out a pen and paper and he'd start writing it down while we're getting our coffee and eggs. And now, to some people, they may need a crystal ball and incense and all that to receive messages. But my father, it was no different than anything else. It was, oh, Arthur's here. Let's see what he has to say.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I think that was really, you know, in the way that you described it, too, that Arthur always did things in three, like blinked the lights or did something like that to let your father know that he was about to come through with a message, which I think, must have made life interesting for you.
You know, we'd be driving on the highway and the lights would blink and he'd pull over. He says, oh, Arthur wants to talk to me just a minute. He'd pull over the side of the road or, you know, we'd be in the movies and those little lights that, you know, guide you to your seating, they'd suddenly blink three times. He says, I got to go talk to Arthur. And, you know, I'm a kid and it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I didn't realize how amazing it was.
Right, absolutely. I know that your father was meticulous in his note-taking, you know, and I said to you once before that it kind of was reminiscent of Edgar Cayce in the sense that he wrote about each and every reading that he did, and he was meticulous in keeping track of things. And your father has, you know, a great deal of his notes having to do with his healing methods. And some of these actual notes are actually on the website. So again, those of you that might be interested, you know, by all means, there's two things that you actually can do. You can go to walkingthroughwallsthebook.com and you can click through and you can actually see the scrapbook, some of the newspaper articles about Lou Smith and messages that he received through channeling from Arthur Ford. And those of you that aren't aware of who Arthur Ford is, he actually was a renowned American psychic, spiritual medium, clairaudient, and the University of Delphi, where they teach metaphysics, is really based upon his work. There's actually a mediumship school there to this day based upon his works. And this was a physical friend for your father in real life up until the point where Arthur died, and then after that he just came through, you know, to him after death. But there's actually these tools, or there's scraps of paper that has this notes and pictures of various different things. And, you know, it gives an organ and the vibration for the organ and then a remedy number and things like that. And I find all of that very fascinating when I look at that. You know, so who knows, you know, that in this, the research, the analysis, the diagnosis, the prescriptions, or whatever these papers might be, you know, there could be some cures for, you know, with a shift of thinking, you know, a cures to diseases and really some great gifts to humanity.
Yeah, I think that he was, my father, well, I want to say he was a different kind of healer than most healers today. I think when a lot of people do laying on of hands, it's very helpful, but it's also nonspecific. Someone says, mm-hmm. I have a stomach ache or a backache, and they lay their hands on. Whereas my father was very interested in why you have that stomach ache and where is
sure.
that stomach ache coming from. And or where's that backache? And then he would first diagnose very specifically with a pendulum, and mm-hmm. which not a lot of people do. And then he'd find out, well, maybe it's the fifth dorsal or something. And then he would deal with that specific part of the body. And what you mentioned in terms of the charts and the vibrations, he felt we live, and this is the basis of energy medicine now. We live in a sea of energy, and everything of whether it's our tabletop, the lamp, a glass of water, or our liver, or our heart, all vibrate at specific rates.
Absolutely.
And my father measured all the organs in the body, their optimal vibration rates, and then people would come into him, and he'd diagnose them. He'd take out his pendulum, and he'd measure them, and he'd do basically a complete workup and body scan in a matter of, you know, 3-4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to, people walk in and they wouldn't say a word, and he diagnosed them in literally a couple minutes, very specifically. And had they gone to a hospital for tests, it would have gone on for days, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, then the radiologist has to come in, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he really wanted this to be the future of medicine, and he was very eager to share what he knew with doctors, but the doctors were very dismissive and sort of terrified of him, and they just wouldn't give him an audience.
Oh, absolutely. One thing that also can be, you know, looked at just on the website is just the testimonials of people that your father helped. And we're talking about breast tumors, lung tumors, ulcers. He also outright healed them from their disease, but also sometimes helped people with very difficult diagnoses to help the doctors to be able to, you know, maybe, you know, cure them quicker. But there's a lot of testimonials there that actually can be read. And you once said that, you know, your house seemed to become like Lourdes or something, that at night there was just, these were the people that really the doctors said they couldn't help them anymore,
uh-huh.
or these are people with very serious problems, and they would just line up at your house at night, and your dad would just work all hours of the night trying to help them,
yeah.
using these various different methods. Now, I heard what you said about measuring the vibrations of the actual organs in the body, that, you know, even in numerologists, being a numerologist, you know, we measure people's vibration using numbers, you know, obviously.
Sure.
So I can relate to that, absolutely. But how do you go about measuring, you know, the vibration of the heart, what the actual vibration of the liver or the pancreas or any of those organs? That rather fast. Do you know how that was done, or was that an intuitive thing?
It would be usually a two-step process. A lot of things that came through were this correspondence school that he had with the dead guys, basically, with them, you know, communicating to him and him just writing stuff down. It was almost like, you know, if you want to get a law degree online, that's what he was getting a medical degree from these people that you couldn't see.
Sure.
So they were teaching him, but then what he would do is he would take an anatomy book and just write down all these organs, and he would hold his pendulum over the liver and say, what is the optimal vibration of the liver?
Okay.
Is it 10?
Okay.
Is it 20? Is it 30? So he waited until
sure.
he got a response. And then he would write it down, and then he'd go back and retest it and make sure that, and that's how he got it. Because he felt that that the information he got from the pendulum was accurate, and he never doubted the pendulum. So that was the true information that came through for him.
Sure. And the pendulum, you know, those of you that are listening that maybe have not experienced or worked with a pendulum, they're rather fascinating to me. You know, I've actually, you know, I've had some guests on the show that actually, you know, talked about pendulums and how they work and given tips and whatever for accuracy. I've experimented with them because I'm a little bit of a scientist. I'm interested in everything. So, you know, I've actually worked with them for a while, and they are a rather amazing tool that they move so independently, you know, of you, and they absolutely do answer questions, and they do answer them accurately. So, you know, I don't doubt that for a second because I've seen it in action. But I think it's really fascinating. And it kind of reminds me, you know, because I've actually experienced other healers, various different types of healers. But I know, you know, there's this one machine that actually measures vibrations and where you're off. It actually vibrates water to a certain, you know, energy level or a certain number, and then you drink that water, and that supposedly helps you with whatever, you know, your problem. I mean, which sounds to be a lot like it's based upon, you know, what your father was working with as well. And, you know, so I think all things are possible, absolutely. But your father also believed that everyone could heal themselves, correct?
Correct. And he felt that that we were all born with this, and it's just we've forgotten it, or we've ignored it, or it just was never taught to us. But, you know, he would, just to go back to the pendulum for a second, I mean, it wasn't just diagnosis, but he would sit with the paper open, and he would go down and say, what movie should I see today? And he would just go and, like, let the pendulum pick the movie for him. Or we went to the supermarket, and there'd be a pile of cantaloupes, and he'd say, okay, which cantaloupe is the ripest and has the most nutrients and has the most vitamin C for me? And he'd get a reading. And I was, as a kid, I was always really embarrassed by this. And it was like, oh, my God.
That would be a little embarrassing to have your father test the fruits and vegetables in the supermarket,
Yeah, it was. And people would like, who is this? Because he was an older guy. And who is this whack job? But you know what? Eventually, you know, as we evolve, people won't need pendulums. But people are going to be able to be intuitive enough to pick that. And the pendulum is just a tool, just as a machine is just an x-ray machine. All these things, you know, we believe the fact that when we go to a doctor and he shows us an x-ray or she shows us an MRI, well, we have this picture that came from a machine. Now, my father sitting in another city would be able to get that same diagnosis sitting there with a little pendulum over a piece of paper, but they would refute it because it was a human being. And the fact that we always trust machines much more than the incredible abilities that are innate in a human being is what my father really wanted to change, because he felt that we were miraculous, and we only, you know, we all know we only use a small potential of who we are, but we don't recognize the multiple realities that we actually exist in at all times.
Wow. It sounds to me, and if you don't mind my saying so, but I know that we had some discussions almost a year ago, and it's been a while since we've been in touch, and it sounds to me like you yourself, I don't know if there's something different about you or your understanding of your father's work is at a greater depth, or maybe, you know, you've had your profound insight with his work, but I can really see a big difference in you, Philip, since some of our earlier discussions. Now, am I right or am I wrong?
It's funny, because as those words were coming in my mouth, I thought, oh, my God, I'm getting so serious now. And I thought, this is unlike our previous conversation where we're both laughing so much.
Right.
I agree with you. I think what's happened is, I mean, when I've given so many lectures now, and a lot of them, and I wrote the book, and as you mentioned, it's funny, I wrote it in an entertaining way because I felt that I needed to seduce people into the storyline, because if it was just told as is, people would not, I would lose a lot of the audience to learn about my father's work. And I think now I'm beginning to realize that wherever I go, people are really interested in these deeper ideas, and that I don't have to be the comedian, and that we can really talk about, hey, what was really, what are the physics that my father was investigating?
Sure, sure. Well, yeah, and sometimes I think that, you know, it's just making the medicine go down just a little bit easier by writing it in
Correct.
An entertaining fashion. But in all honesty, the book serves dual purpose, because it's extremely entertaining to read, but also, you know, I don't think a person is going to be drawn to the book unless they are open to maybe some holistic healing, spiritual philosophy, or something along those lines. So the wisdom is still there between the lines of the pages. It's just it's written in a very delightful manner, so that it is also, you know, something that is humorous and touching, and also one can connect to your emotions as you're growing up trying to deal with all of this, because you didn't sign up anywhere to be, you know, a healer or a psychic or a channeler, and yet you had to have all of this interference in your life, you know, even to the point where your father, you know, they would actually tell on you to your father, you know,
yeah.
So that you couldn't get away with anything because your father knew what was going on with you, which really, in all honesty, that's actually kind of a little hysterical. I mean, that was tough. I think all mothers are psychic to a certain extent, but I don't know
they
if
are.
I'd want to go up against your father and Arthur Ford, really, trying to get away with stuff. So, you know, I do think that the book serves many purposes, but I also think that it, you know, my sense of it was that was an introduction perhaps to maybe something, you know, greater depth with the body of work itself. And I can just kind of see that, you know, this, you are so much more serious, but also I just feel like, you know, your understanding is even at a greater depth. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you understood it completely before, but I mean, I think it's an extraordinary, it probably is an extraordinary body of work that your father, you know, is in your hands. And, I'd be interested to see the future. See what you're, do you have any plans, to go forward?
Yeah, I get so many emails every single day from people saying, I've read the book, I want to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that my father wanted most of his work shared, and he wanted to teach it, not all of it. There's certain work that I know that there's messages from the spirits. I'll tell you one story. He, toward the end of his life, he was creating these diagrams. They look like mandalas, and he created like about 100 of them. And they each had a very specific vibratory rate written on the card. And they had names, which I don't even understand. But you look at these things, and it's almost like, you know, when you look at a tarot card, and you feel that energy coming from the picture. And
right.
I thought, gee, this would make great illustrations for each chapter in the book. So I started scanning them, and I was going to send them to the publisher. And it was a big folder of them. And when I got to the end of the folder, there were some messages from the spirits on how to use these to my father. And one of them said to my father, don't show these to anybody because their vibratory rate is, they're for your use alone. The vibratory rate is so strong that they'll attract negative energy and you could possibly be harmed. So I'm thinking, and you know, this is 40, 50 years ago. And my first thought is, it's 50 years ago. Who cares? That lasted about a split second. And my next thought is, who am I to even mess with this and to disrespect this? So, I think that a lot of his work, I've got to find a way to share it. And, some of it, no, but, and I'm wrestling with whether it's going to be another narrative like the book is, or is it just subjects where we talk about light, or we talk about color healing, or we talk about pendulum work? I'm not sure yet, but I think that there's something there.
No, absolutely. I know that your father taught workshops. He taught people how to heal. I mean, you even had that going on in your house and things like that. So I'm sure that, you know, in many ways that he would want his work shared, or if it could help to teach others. I think that, you know, based on what he did by example, you know, because he did want to teach people and share with them what he had learned. So, you know, that's a lot of responsibility. And you actually have a story about how you were told that your purpose, what your purpose was as far as your father's work, and that you actually found it in a tape recording somewhere in his office at one point?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's actually two parts to that story. After I had finished the book, it was about a week before I handed it in, and I worked like 6 years on the book because there was a lot of, he audiotaped his healings and his phone conversations and his lectures, so I had to listen to all this and absorb it and transcribe it. And so all of a sudden I find this folder with more messages, and I thought, oh boy, I hope I didn't leave something out of the book because I try to be very, very thorough. So I'm looking through it, and I go, yeah, I covered that. Yeah, that's in the book. I don't need this. And then there's a message, and this is 1971, and in it they're telling my father to organize his papers because Philip, me, was going to write a book on his work and make sure that everything was organized. And this is, 40 years ago. And then about a week later, I found a bag of tapes, and these were cassette tapes that were unmarked. And I thought they were blank. And I thought, you know what, I'll take some of them in the car with me, and I'll just see if they're blank. And this one tape, it was a white cassette tape. It was unmarked. And it was an English woman giving my father a psychic reading. And in the tape, she says to him, "You have a son, don't you?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "Good, because he's going to be writing I guess she said, it's kind of like a documentary on you." And she said, "I see a video," and she says, "Make sure he has everything he needs." Now, my father, lived another 10 years after that, and it was never discussed with me that I would be writing this book. And it was interesting because I thought this was my idea, and once I found the written message and the tape, I realized I didn't have any choice in this matter. I couldn't understand. My mom kept saying to me, "Why are you like spending so much time on this book?" I said, "I don't know, Mom. I got to get it right." She said, "Well, just be done with it." And I just kept working on it, working on it. And so obviously there's something in the plan about this.
Right. And that when you heard that, when you put those two things together and you realized that that was the plan, or perhaps your destiny, are part of why you're here is to, you know, organize the work and present the work or write the book about it. I mean, how did you feel at that moment, you know, given the fact that really, I mean, in many ways, your father's being a healer it was a little bit of being your nemesis in many ways. It didn't exactly make for, you know, the perfect childhood because, you know, in all intents and purposes, you would have just as soon had a normal father that
sure.
just went to work like everybody else's dad. So how did you feel when you found out that it was your destiny to actually write this book?
Well, on one hand, I felt bad that I didn't, because my father would sit me down and teach me stuff. And, you know, I guess it's like having a great pianist as a dad who sits you down and gives you piano lessons, and you'd rather go out and play with your friends. And it's like, do I have to? And do I have to learn the pendulum today? Do I have to learn color healing today? I'd rather just go, you know, out with my friends, go bike riding. So there's a part of me that regrets not, but you know, I'm 14 years old, and I just didn't take it that seriously. But also, I feel that I've gotten, I'm so proud of him, and I feel that I'm very happy that I was able to, you know, give this back to him. And because, you know, he passed away, you know, he had a circle of people in Miami, hundreds of people knew him, but he, you know, it was long before Oprah or the internet, and a lot of people didn't know what he did. And I feel that now his life's work will be remembered, and I feel, you know, very fortunate to have been able to do that.
Sure, and that is an incredible gift that you've given, and an honor, I think, you know, absolutely to his work by you know, taking the time and doing it right and presenting the book. And again, you know, it's like for all of you that are listening, you know, the book is called Walking Through Walls, a memoir by Philip Smith. You can check out the book at walkingthroughwallsthebook.com. Also, if you go to the front page of BBS Radio, And you click on the info tab on Visible by Numbers. You can actually find the link to the book in the show info about tonight's show. There's also a video on YouTube that's available that you can watch that has to do with the book. All a very fascinating book. And, you know, we have a lot of listeners to the program that are, you know, interested in all aspects of spiritual philosophy. And I personally think that this would be just a magnificent gift for Christmas for somebody. I mean, this book is fascinating. And I think that you did a really extraordinary job on it. And another thing that I want to, you know, say, you know, you might be listening. Maybe you've got a question for Philip about the book. Maybe you've read the book and you'd like to maybe, you know, call into the show. So I just want to take a moment and I just want to give out the call-in numbers. You can call toll-free at 888-815-9756, which is a worldwide number. You can also call in at 530-327-7602. And again, at 530-776-5185, 530-413-4511, and finally, 530-876-3222. If you missed those numbers, you can find them right on the front page of BBS Radio. Again, I'm talking to Philip Smith, who wrote the book Walking Through Walls, a memoir, which is about his father, Lou Smith, who was an extraordinary healer, and also, you know, apparently an extraordinary medium, because, you know, in order to have the kind of connection that your dad had, he not only had Arthur Ford that he channeled, but he also, there was another spirit guide named Chandler Sen, I think, is that correct?
Yeah, and so
he had more than one connections to the, let's call it, the ethereal realm, helping him with his healing, where they actually, like you said, were more or less, he was going to a spiritual school, you know, where they were teaching him. That would be correct in saying that?
Yeah, I think that it was a correspondence school, and
right.
They would describe to him, for example, you know, someone might come see my father and need some sort of healing, and they would tell him to go in the backyard, and that there's a plant in the backyard, to take his pendulum with him and find out which one it is, and that weed or that plant is going to help this person, let's say, with their blood pressure. And you know, so they basically were, they were his consultants, and
sure.
And as you said, they were also, you know, tattletales on me misbehaving, and you know, they would say, well, Philip is having these kinds of emotional crisis right now in school, and this with the girlfriend, and this and that, and he should be doing this. And it was, you know, it's hard again when you're a kid that people you can't see are telling your father all the things you're doing, and then telling your father how these things should be handled. It's like, wait a minute, who's the parent here? And
but
these people, my father really believed that these people had, you know, information that was true and correct, and that he needed to follow it.
Sure. Well, you know, one thing that you know, as I said, with the show, we also have a lot of people that are interested in numerology, and you know, a lot of the, you know, people that have actually had readings and whatnot that listen to the show. Some of them are my clients, some of them are friends. And one of the things that we did when we first hooked up, when I was talking to you about getting you on the show and doing the first interview, you know, we kind of walked through, you know, the numerology of your father and
okay.
yourself. And the first and foremost thing was that your father was an 11 life path, which makes him a messenger. And one of the things that is said about the 11 is that there's an open doorway to the spiritual realm through mm-hmm. which information flows. So you've got the number of the psychic. And then also the part of what the purpose in life is to be a messenger, that, you know, possibly bringing through a truth or bringing through something that on some level helps humanity. That's the purpose of the 11. It's something that they're shown in life. And from that, they want to take that information. They want to inspire others. They also want to share that information and uplift humanity. It's, you know, it's about an awakening. It's about being an inspiration. It's about bringing light. It's about being a visionary. There's all kinds of illuminators, another word that would be used with the 11, and this all was your father and his work. And, you know, to me, you know, the validation from being able to look at your father's chart and understand that all of the elements were there truly to shift him to his life. And it's interesting that usually people that have 11 life paths, they come to it late in life. It's not necessarily something that you do early down in life. You've got a whole lot of living to do to get to that particular energy. Listen, Philip, I think that we do have someone on the line, maybe a question or something. So if
okay,
you want to.
Okay, sure.
Well, let's see who's calling. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Tamara from Arizona.
Hi.
Hi, Tamara. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you.
Do you have a question or comment for Philip?
I have a question. What kind of questions are you taking? Are you taking life questions or?
Well, no, actually, you know, if you've read the book, if you've been listening to the conversation, if you have maybe a comment about holistic healing or about loose work or something along those lines, we're not doing any readings tonight or anything like that.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, let me hang up and I'll continue listening to the show.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, Tamara. That's all right. All right.
Thank you
for calling. Thanks for listening, too.
You know, yeah. You mentioned numerology, and I was thinking as you were talking, well, my father was interested in all this, but then what he would do in terms of numbers, and I've never mentioned this to you, is that with his students, he would, with his pendulum, he would determine what each one of their power numbers, he would call it a power number.
Sure.
And, what he would do is instruct them to wake up on that number every morning. So let's say, let's say your number's 11. And so then you would have to wake up at, 4 minutes to 7 in the morning or something like that, or any combination thereof. And that was very important that all his students do that, to basically be aligned in a certain way. It was a minor thing. It wasn't a major part of his work, but it just it sort of came to mind when you were mentioning numerology.
Well,
but
that's interesting.
I'll
tell you why it's interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when you did that chart on my dad, which you did like in 10, 15 minutes, I mean, it was amazingly accurate. And you did the same for my mom, and it was just as if you had known them for like 40 years.
Yeah. One of the things, you know, getting back to what you were saying about your father and a power number and whatnot, if you really get into some of the older numerology books, you know, and what they're talking about is like when you need to bring in the energy of a specific number, you know, and actually through repetitive motion. So, you know, one of the examples I can recall very strongly is it was talking about, like, let's say, for instance, using the example that you're, you know, a mother with children and you've worked all day and you come home and you're tired and you don't have the energy and you've got three kids that want your attention and they want a meal and or their homework helped with and your patience is gone, your energy levels are low and you really are having a difficult time, you know, trying to step up to the plate and do what you need to do. And one of the things that the book suggested was is calling in the energy of, let's say, the three, which is the energy that's, you know, it connects to the inner child. It certainly gives you some energy. It helps you to be really work well with children. And, you know, and what they actually were saying is taking your hand and drawing the three in the air three times or tapping three times or writing it three times, which is to actually bring in that energy to be at your disposal so that you could pull that energy and actually use it, you know, in that particular situation. So it's kind of interesting to me that in a roundabout way that your father was actually kind of using that concept by waking up at that power number time. You know, that's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, and then what you were saying about the mother coming home and being tired, he had, and I don't remember them all specifically, I don't have them in front of me, but there were vibratory rates. There was like the divine and healing level was, I think, 8,000. There was the infinite level, which was 100,000, and there were all these different levels of vibration, and he would measure the vibratory rate at which people were leading their lives. And for example, before they started the healing, he would want them to, you know, raise their vibrations to the divine and healing level, and to bring all their etheric bodies, all their energies up to this pure, cleaner energy. And, people were energized by that. So it's a very similar thing.
Sure. Well, you know, what they say is in the practice of spiritual philosophy, the various different things, for instance, meditation itself, you know, that through implementing that into your life and perhaps doing that on a daily basis, you know, you actually can affect your health through the actual, you know, performance of meditation. And I being one person, that is extremely evident, because before I started doing a regular practice of meditation, I had blood pressure that wanted to skyrocket at times, and I was constantly being called into the doctor's office to get my blood pressure tested again, because I would have get too high of a reading, and they say, no, you got to come back in 2 weeks, let's test it again. And once I implemented the practice of meditation, and now when I go into the doctor's office, I think it's really funny, because when they get ready to get out the blood pressure cuff, I actually go to the meditative state. They don't know I'm doing it, but I can do it in a very quick amount of time. And my reading, the last reading was something like 102 over, 68.
Wow.
Which, you know, I mean, come on, I'm 56 years old, you know, and to me, I like to mess with them. You know, sometimes I just let them do it without the meditative state, and then sometimes I do it, and then I'll bring it down, and I can actually affect my blood pressure just simply by, you know, meditating or going to that place when I go to the doctor's office. There's actually a really cool game. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's called Journey to the Wild Divine, which uses biofeedback on your fingers. And there are things that you have to do in the game that physically you have to control your energy in order to get through various different challenges in the game.
Interesting.
Which is another testimony about raising and lowering your vibrations.
Sure.
You know, so it makes, you know, an incredible amount of sense. And even in the, whether it's meditating, whether it's cleansing your auric field, whether it's working with your chakras, you know, all of which, you know, helps to make you a healthier person, because you are actually raising your vibration. So again, that correlates with what your father was saying about raising your vibration to a certain, that's where healing can take place in the physical body. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and my father felt that ultimately disease and healing starts in the mind. So it's
absolutely
a question of keeping it sort of clean and alert, and really using the mind as the steering wheel to drive our lives, as opposed to letting the physical body take over and you know, run us. And that's really what he was after. But
I think
Go ahead.
Well, I think the pharmaceuticals do us a big disservice. One of the things that really kind of upsets me is that any given night when you're watching TV, there's got to be at least five different commercials about various different medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're peddling is illness. What they're putting out there is the suggestion in your mind, you know, that you probably have this illness or potentially will have this illness or whatever. And they're constantly peddling this medicine and this idea of you need this medicine, but instead of peddling wellness, you know what I mean? You know, to me, it's an incredible disservice to see these commercials on TV. It does implant in a person's mind thoughts about their own personal health and maybe even, you know, maybe not feeling as confident or perhaps even implanting, you know, maybe I'm not well. And it's pushing illness on people by these constant commercials about pharmaceuticals and different medicines. And I think it's a tremendous disservice. I think it's going about things in a completely wrong manner.
Well, it's right for the pharmaceutical companies. They're making money. But my father would, one of the things he was able to do is that for him, and if you think about it, he's correct, any pill, any pharmaceutical, any medicine is basically chemistry, and chemistry is physics, is vibration. And people would come to him with a bag of medicine, and of course, they were taking 20 different pills with all kinds of side effects. So they weren't really getting benefit, and they were getting sicker from the medicine. And what he would do is he would take the bottles out one by one, and he had a little sort of sending board, which was sort of copper wire and a coil of copper and some magnets, and he would put it on the sending board, and he was able to send the purity, the beneficial part of that medicine, to the person sitting across the room, and they would taste it in their mouth, that sort of bitter chemical taste. They would taste in their mouth, and their blood pressure would drop while he was doing this, but without all the side effects, because what he did is he got beyond the physicality of the medicine and just dealt with what is the medicine really doing, what is it really for. It's to change the energy in the body to effectuate, mm-hmm. whether it's lowering blood pressure or cholesterol or whatever.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so
wow.
He saw it as a whole different thing, and he felt that in certain cases you could actually just hold the bottle of the medicine in your hand when it came time for you to take your medicine, and if you were willing, you know, you could absorb the medication that way, just through
wow.
kind of a thought transference.
Right. Well, I never made the connection, so that's really kind of fascinating, but you're absolutely right that the medicine itself would be at a certain vibration, because everything can be measured. The vibration even of medicine can be measured. So putting
sure.
it in the body changes your vibration. In effect, you know, maybe that's why medicines work. You know, but again, then you have the side effects with all medicines as well, which is, again, you know, the negative factor. That you just made me shift my thinking there just a little bit. So I thank you for that. That's interesting. I'll have to think about that.
And also what you said about the TV commercials and the negative environment that they put out there, you're correct. And my father, when someone came to him, no matter how sick they were, he always saw them in wellness, in their mm-hmm. in their optimal, perfect state. And it was from that vantage point that he began to work on them. He never saw them as sick people, and he sort of worked from that point.
Right. And then if you read, you know, there's a lot of books that are out there. And basically what they say is even in if you're in a place of not being well, let's say you've got a stomach problem, if you focus on nothing but that stomach problem and worry about what's wrong and continue to obsess about it, you're not going to get better. You need to
correct.
Think about wellness.
That's correct.
And a perfect state of health. And even if your stomach's bothering you, maybe think of the parts of your body that feel well, like your feet or your hands or your head or whatever
yes.
the case might be, and feel the wellness, and that, in essence, will speed the healing of the part of your body that's not feeling well.
Right.
So, you know, there's many books that, you know, it's all in the mind, as your father, you know, his work is based upon, that wellness itself is in the way, how you think, you know, and creating and also uncreating disease, I think, which is, in fact, the healing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I went recently, you know, I'll tell you this really quickly. Based upon reading your book, I wasn't one really for going to healers. I really was, you know, there's many aspects of metaphysics that I've literally participated in, actively pursued, and, you know, basically wanted to try. And I recently went to see a healer, and it was extraordinary. He was extraordinary. And his name is John of New, and he had been told by 17 independent psychics that he was John the Apostle. And he also had a past life regression in which he actually saw this, but he didn't want to accept this responsibility. But eventually, I guess there was one major sign that actually shifted his perception, and he finally embraced it. And so that's what, you know, he finally started going out there and doing healing. He was extraordinary. I couldn't believe what happens with his hands when he, you know, is working with you. And being a skeptic, which I can be at times, and I told him, I said, you know, I believe in you. I believe in healers. I know that the healers are created. And so I let him do his thing. And I got to say, I had a back problem, and I haven't felt one ounce of a back problem since I went to him.
Oh, that's
so
great.
That was my very first, you know, healing. And so, and that makes me believe, I never doubted in healers, never. But your book actually inspired me to have my own very personal experience with a healer. And it was really, you know, I have to thank you for that, because it's your book that really made me say, you know, I need to try that. So anyhow, Philip, as always, you know, we start talking, 55 minutes, it's gone, it's time to say goodbye.
I don't know where it went.
I don't either. I don't either. But I do want to remind people, the name of the book is called Walking Through Walls, a memoir. It's written by Philip Smith. You can purchase it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. You can go to the website, which is walkingthroughwallsthebook.com. And again, I give it the big, huge Alison Bachman seal of approval. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you.
Wonderful body of work. And you're a great guy, Philip. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, well, I'm really honored to be here. And thank you so much for having me back.
Well, anytime, Philip. And good luck with the book. And keep me informed as continue this journey. I'm always interested.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much. Be back again next week. We've got Chuck Bergman on next week, so it's going to be a really great show. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.